in the financial system, and there is an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve, an infinite cash at the Federal Reserve,
an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve.
Then I would sell my Bitcoin right into this rally. And believe me, I have been a bull one time in Bitcoin. Not here, not now. Find somebody to love. Don't you?
The arbitrage on this trend has been margin called.
The view was a hook. Trust the view, I don't know, they got you shook. Believe in the pros. I look the same. Are they cooking the books? Save up a deck and I lost in a day. Another new rent, just getting away. Bigger the bank. The ripple effect. When it all blows off, it is you who will pay.
Behind the ads, it's not the success. The currency, what do you get? And it's the risk with a bit of net. Made from your savings. And 401k. Give it to the other side. Socialized lessons while we've been the game. First to fall in this reckless war. Cause you're just a pawn in the
game. Money talks, we pay for the show. Pay for the cloud, pay for the throne, pay for the media lie to our face. Distort the truth so we repeat a mistake. Sell us a dream that never delivers. While raking in fees and clipping the tickets. Money funds from a mouthless bigot. Blindly the blind to the all complicit. Money is cheap and addicted to growth. But the risks so nobody knows. How far it'll go to a damaged collateral. Another excuse for oppressive control. When government kept you as private play. Reapers of value at the end of the day. We're calling for help, but nobody can bail us with pawns and complete it.
Your money deeply rots at the core. Don't believe intentions are pure. This crypto can stem from a system that incentivized fraud. As schemes get more complex and fallible, humans left unchecked. Playing the dark is how you get wrecked, and our economies are largely X.
What happened? We take our money out of its systems. Why protest our labor when we pull out our capital? Where would we be if our money enriched us? Simply by holding purchasing power. How do we build a base? Replace till in effect with the will of free markets.
Give an independent system to remove the risk of corruption. Move the savings into that system so no one can ever touch it.
Earn, save, trade,
all activities move this way. We were all money, everything changed. We no longer positive to
the money again. Was high by design, earning by work, and with time, earning a larger piece of pie, or of yours to be earned by. Money is data because when that's you keep scoring a politician, coming and capturing.
So we can move value without being sensitive. Move on from gambling and saving. Move on from all of the politics. Move on to the elevated internet.
So we don't got the trust every word that they say. So freedom and wealth can be taken away.
So we treat them, punish all the same.
So we can get to the children of this game.
Knowing the truth will break the frame. Now our perspectives forever change. Truth is the key for us to reclaim.
Open the door, it's the game.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Friday. This is the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces episode 63, and I am your host, Coleman, and I want to give a warm welcome to everybody who's joining us this morning. I already have Shane, Yomar, Bob Van Kirk, Jordan up here on the panel. I see we have BitPetro AC Hunter in the audience. I see we have Ken. Good morning, gentlemen. How was everybody's evening?
Man, I had a blast last night. I was actually able to present at a Bitcoin meetup, and it was awesome to see a room full of 30 other people who were learning and passionate about Bitcoin.
That's awesome. What was the main talking points of that meeting, Bob?
So I work a lot with corporations, financial institutions on understanding and adopting Bitcoin. And so the presentation was kind of similar to what I would give to some of these folks, boardrooms, senior managers, C-suite folks. But I kind of retitled it and said, you know, this is how to basically orange pill anybody. And the reason I say that is because when I'm giving these presentations, a lot of times what happens is you know, these folks at these organizations are slow to move the organization, but inevitably during some of my slides, somebody will slide me a piece of paper or message me after the fact and say, hey, I know we're not going to do this right away. We'll get to it eventually as an organization, but I'm interested for myself personally. And so it's kind of funny to see some of these folks who understand what is going on and want to start adopting Bitcoin themselves.
So do you see that they're becoming more favorable and just talking about it and accepting kind of the inevitability?
Sorry, I got interrupted by a call there. Yes, I do. And I think as you see some of these folks who are in charge of these companies adopting it on a personal level, there's just this flywheel effect, right, of them learning about it and then hopefully turning their board or senior management into, Bitcoin adoption for that organization. So I think it's happening incrementally. I do think it has to happen on personal level first. So it's kind of frustrating to run a consulting firm that, you know, does this stuff and doesn't have much success with the people that we're talking to initially. It's the long game. But it's refreshing to see that some of these people in boardrooms are paying attention for at least themselves. So
also, like, look where their incentives are. If they truly do believe it and see where it's going, if they're the first in their organization to understand that and they can kind of front run it before they ever try selling it to their people, especially if they start seeing that it's inevitable, of course they're going to be like, well, I'm going to scoop up as much as I can before my company starts investing it, and I have stock options in them, that as well.
Yeah, it's great that you brought that up, just because I was going over for topics today on the news, and it just seems, I think we've hit a new phase in the Bitcoin acceleration or Bitcoin adoption, and it just seems like there's more companies coming out and admitting that they're adding it to their treasury. We had some big news that happened yesterday morning with the state of Pennsylvania going to add it to their treasury in the state account. They're not just doing a modest 1% to 3%. They're doing 10%, so we're going to cover that. So, and then over this last week, we've had four major companies come out and say they're going to add it. All this talk I continue to see about the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. We had central banks that met in Latin America over the week, talking about how they think that they're going to become long Bitcoin once the Trump administration gets into power. So I think what you said that you noticed in that meeting, I think it's starting to happen. I think the ball is really starting to roll. And over the next 60 to 90 days, I think it'll be really interesting to see what develops. But before we start diving into this a little too much further, I just want to make sure everybody understands the reason why we do this show every weekday, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. And it's just that. It's just to show the world what this decentralized power can do, how it can lift the chains off of everybody and allow you financial freedom and financial independence. And you're not just confined to one area, to one country, to one state, one city. And it'll allow you to do the things that you didn't think you're able to do. So if you're in a bad part of town, hopefully you're able to use this to escape from it. You're not just confined. If you happen to talk out about things that many people in your country feel are, you know, need to be censored, you're able to take your money and leave, and the government's not able to confiscate it for you. And so the things that our founding fathers fought so hard for, the right to assemble, the freedom of speech, all of these things have direct ties into Bitcoin and what it can do. And so that's why I love coming on here and talking to all of you, talking about all these developments. But I have to say, looking into all the news articles that we're going to be covering today, I am extremely bullish for the next 6 months. It's going to be pretty crazy. And some of the things we're talking about and the possibilities of what can come is, it's almost a little frightening, at some of the numbers you can start playing with. So let's go ahead and, let's start kicking it off. Let's just jump right into, a little clip I'm going to play for you. Michael Saylor went on CNBC. Well, before we do that, I posted it up on the Nest. We just crossed another major, milestone, if you want to call it that, in the United States. We are now $36 trillion in debt. And so its number is so large, you have a really hard time just imagining and putting it into perspective. So if I was to pay you $21 million every day since the Great Pyramids were built, give or take 4,500 years ago, you would still only have less than $34 trillion. You could be making $21 million every single day for 4,500 years, and you still don't even have enough to pay off what the U.S. debt owes, or the U.S. owes itself. And that's not including unfunded liabilities. So this number is just becoming it's just becoming silly and a joke at this point. And I think that's why we're starting to see a lot more talk coming through with the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. And so Michael Saylor went on to, CNBC the other day. And I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play that clip of him, and we're going to listen to it really quick, and about 2 minutes, and then we'll go ahead and dissect everything that he said. So just give me 1 second while I load it up.
And why would that be a good thing when you're talking about a decentralized asset now being stockpiled by a centralized government?
Well, that's being sponsored by Senator Lummis from Wyoming, and she understands the value of the frontier. The United States was built by purchasing Manhattan, then we purchased the Louisiana Territory, then we purchased California and acquired Texas, and then we bought Alaska. The next great frontier is cyberspace, and the obvious thing to do is to own cyberspace, buy the future. And so I think it's a great idea. I think it will happen. And I think it's important to the United States because it cements the United States control over the future World Reserve Capital Network. Senator Lummis's bill will offset $16 trillion of our debt, according to my models right now. So I think it's economically wise, it's technically wise. And again, Bitcoin is manifest destiny for the United States.
So with your most recent acquisition of 27,200 Bitcoins, it looks like you now, based on my calculations, own about 1% of the Bitcoin supply. You just talked about this $42 billion fundraising plan. This would be a record-breaking plan. Half of it in at-the-market equity offerings and half of it in new debt securities. How will you carry this out, and why is now the time to go to market with something like this?
Well, all of our investors tell me they want me to buy more Bitcoin. They want me to raise capital to buy Bitcoin. And their number one concern was, are you going to stop issuing equity to buy Bitcoin? And so we were actually addressing their concerns. We did raise $2 billion to buy 27,000 Bitcoin just in the first 10 days of November. So we're moving fairly aggressively on it. I think our exact rate will be a function of the capital markets, but right now they've been very enthusiastic. So our plan is 2-3 years, but it's possible we'll do it much before that.
Okay. Michael Saylor of MicroStrategy. Great to have you on. Thank you.
Thanks, Morgan.
So pretty crazy. Jordan, I see you have your hand up. Go ahead and let's hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of lead off this discussion with, if you haven't, go listen to Whitney Webb on a TFTC where she is talking about this could have been like Larry Fink's kind of plan all along, starting with COVID, was to flood the market with all this liquidity, right? They buy up all the assets around the world and then they start buying up Bitcoin because the best time to transition to a deflationary currency would be when you already own and control all the assets. So when he says that according to his calculations, they can knock off $14 trillion from the debt just by having Bitcoin on the reserve, I guess on the balance sheet, that should be a little bit disconcerting for people that like, you know, it's still good money, but like realize we're all going to become rich and so are they, and they still kind of are going to be gaming the system to some degree. So just some things to be like aware of as we enter the government coming into owning this thing. Like it's awesome and it also comes with some issues that we should be prepared for.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it'll be easy breezy, and it won't come without any complications. But you do bring up some interesting points. And I just want to bring, I say hello to Joe Colasari in the audience. If you're listening, you want to join, I'd love to have you up here. But I, it's not that I don't doubt Whitney Webb with a lot of what she has to say. But I think she goes a lot further into the conspiracy theories than I like to kind of flow into. And so with some of her things that she talks about, I have a hard time jumping on board, with it. And I'm not saying that she's wrong with this. I'm not saying that you're wrong, Jordan, either. If I had to pick a side on this one, I would say that they knew what was coming. And that's why they're acquiring so much Bitcoin, because they can see the writing on the wall. So
let me just like caveat all that with like, I'm not saying that this is true. I'm saying it is a theory to be aware of in case it is true. But also if you go and look, and I'm blanking on what it's called now, but they had Larry Fink had this financial plan in place, like well before COVID, of a way to basically do a reset for the debt. So there is some information to like back it up, but you know, how somebody could have had that plan, it doesn't mean there's some big giant conspiracy that is global, but just keep an eye on it.
No, but it does fall in line with kind of the actions Congress has been taking over the last 2 years, especially with the punting of the debt ceiling and just no one addressing that elephant in the room. And again, that's supposed to come, I believe, in February of this year. They're supposed to decide on a new debt ceiling and a new budget. And I would bet Alani that they, again, just punted for another 6 months with just a temporary stopgap bill to fund it. So
I'd say that, look, vested powers like to remain vested, right? So, like, what's the surprise here? This is supposed to be money for enemies. And if it's so, then you would expect adversarial parties to begin to take positions for adversarial purposes. I just don't see, I see that being more of a factor of mass adoption happening in like game theory unfolding than maybe Machiavellian, hey, they're going to grab it all. Because look, at the end of the day, if they were going to do some big giant play, they would have done a Bhutan and just been mining quietly all along.
Are you talking BlackRock, or are you talking the United States government?
Yeah, BlackRock. Yeah, BlackRock. They would have had all the assets to do that quietly, and the fact that they are moving the amount of capital that they are, and the fact that they're I heard figures come out that they're projecting an 86% allocation in total to Bitcoin when they get done with all of their derivative ETFs, because I don't know if you guys understand how they are their primary buyer, their own primary buyer for their ETF, because what they do is they package it in secondary bundled ETFs with other assets. And Joe can probably correct me further on this, but my understanding is that they have to wait a certain period of time for those funds to have met the regulatory requirements to then be included in secondary funds. And so that's why you're getting these huge waves of buying from the ETFs, because they had to wait for those timelines.
Okay, that clears it up a little bit. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there. I'm not going to say that BlackRock is nefarious in what they're doing, but I do think Jordan and BitPetro make some good points there that we need to. It's not out of the realm of possibilities that they could be doing that. But let's go ahead and start rolling into Pennsylvania, putting Bitcoin on their treasury, or converting their treasury into Bitcoin, 10%. So they have a $7 billion, treasury that they're going to go ahead and put $700 million worth into Bitcoin. It still has to get approved by the state Senate. There's been no timeline for that, but I do think it is pretty big news, and it does deserve some time to discuss and how this will just kind of, again, quote unquote, game theory for the other states to jump on board. I know Florida had released a statement a couple weeks ago saying that they were going to look into how to do it. But this does appear that Pennsylvania is the first state that's not going to do the regulatory process. They're just going to go ahead and vote to implement it. So if anybody has any thoughts or comments on that, I'd like to hear your opinion.
I think it's more of a race between the states and the federal government, to be honest. I mean, like, whether or not any other state jumps on, I mean, that has been now, that Band-Aid has been ripped off. So we now have a timeline between when states start voting for this and when the federal government starts voting for this. So that's a really interesting, you know, internal game theory.
I think the federal government is going to move faster on this than the states. I think that the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve will be implemented and already started before Pennsylvania and Florida jump on it, and any other states can start getting it through. I've just seen a. Go ahead.
I was looking like I haven't seen much, right? Like, I know he mentioned it on like at the conference, but I haven't seen much in terms of like substance from Trump on this. I saw one article that was talking about like that Trump kind of just threw it out there, so he wasn't overshadowed by RFK, who had like a more like solid plan. And I know Loomis's bill is out there, but I also saw Loomis on the list of senators who were voting for, you know, the leader that the MAGA group wasn't going for. So, you know, I'm kind of interested to know, like, if anybody has seen anything more like substantive from Trump on like the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve. Was it just kind of like a throwaway line? You know, like that's kind of my thoughts on it right now. I mean, I think tactically it makes sense, but that doesn't mean that our government will do it, right? There's tons of things that they should do that they don't do. So that's kind of like where my thoughts are, you know, like, I don't know. I'm not 100% certain that they're going to like hit the ground running and make this a top priority. I would like them to, but you know.
Well, if nothing else, isn't the path kind of that the federal government is on is to just, all right, we currently have 250,000 Bitcoin or whatever it is. We're at least not going to sell it. So they're sitting on it, not selling it with the plans of, you know, down the road that becomes part of that gets put on the balance sheet or something.
So I have a couple of thoughts on this topic. I think, you know, people get excited about who the Treasury Secretary would be because part of this has to do with policy. But one of the issues that I can see is that the government doesn't want to create any instability in the financial system. And I think this could do it, right? Banks are already struggling with keeping depositors happy with the interest rates. And so there's been a huge runoff, especially with technology and other forces of deposits. And banks need deposits in order to provide loans, right? And so as their balance sheets continue to lose liabilities, which is what deposits are, it puts a strain on their ability to lend, and that can have implications for businesses and individuals who will borrow to hopefully make more money or to put back into the economy. So I think that it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? For a number go up for Bitcoin, it's great that they would be putting all this buy pressure on Bitcoin, but from an economic standpoint, I think that there will be those in the federal government that will push back and push back very hard because we don't want instability in our financial system that I think that this could create because it's going to create additional runoffs of deposits for banks. Some might fail. You might have bank runs. And if you've studied history, anytime there's major upheaval in financial markets, it usually leads to you know, other civil unrest and things like that. So I'm not trying to say it can't happen, but I'm not as like straight lined on this as maybe some people are. And I also will reserve the right to be completely wrong. I'm curious to hear other people's thoughts on it.
Bob, I'd I'd like to do like a quick little like war game with you. So take everything you just said into account, but then add on the possibility that, you know, half the federal workforce gets axed. Are the federal employees still pushing back nearly as hard when they're thinking that their job is on the line? Just as like a little war game theory.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good point, but I do think there are some critical, government employees that will have a say, you know, and even so, like the Fed itself is, you know, supposedly independent. And so even, you know, when Powell was asked after the election, you know, what he thought, you know, if Trump blah, 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 and he basically had very, simple answers because the Fed is independent. So I think the Fed would be the biggest one to knock down. So now if we're wargaming it and you told me that the Fed was going to be abolished with, you know, and they were going to give it an 18 month timeline, I think that'd be very difficult to do. But again, I think that the financial markets would be impacted by just that alone, aside, you know, set aside buying a whole bunch of Bitcoin and putting it on in the treasury for the United States government. So I don't know. It's hard for me to see that this would be, something that would be acceptable, because I just go back to the whole financial instability, and, you know, they're fighting it. They're fighting financial instability every day as it is, let alone creating some catastrophic event to implode markets.
So let's throw this variable into the fact. If you were some of the leading executives in some of the biggest banks and you understand that the U.S. federal government is about to go bankrupt, like the game's over, you need to adjust fire very quickly, which might be this Larry Fink conspiracy that he had this whole reset planned out, or it's just a collection of people under seeing the writing on the wall. If that's coming anyway, and they see it's coming, like if you're not going to transition now, then when?
Like, I mean, like to the conspiracy thing, I mean, that's kind of like my take too, right? Like that if I always say like there's two ways I see it. Either the government is as incompetent as they seem to be, or there's at least some people that know what they're doing, and that's why we have like the world's largest gold reserves and the world's largest state-held Bitcoin reserves. I used to not have to do the state-held thing, but I think MicroStrategy actually has now more Bitcoin than the U.S. government. There really is good arguments for why we should do it, right? Why we should have this Bitcoin strategic reserve. You know, the number the 1 million target that's in Loomis's bill, you know, what's good about that is that it puts us up around like the hypothesized level of Bitcoin that are in Satoshi's wallet. So like if turns out like, you know, Satoshi was some other state actor or something, then, you know, we're on board, you know, we're at the same level of economic power as that. So that's kind of a smart move, I think, in terms of the number she picked. I don't know if, like, I don't know which one is true, right? I don't know if there's people actually competent enough to know that, like, that the road we're on, is ending, you know, or, if it was just kind of a talking point thing from Trump. It's hard to say. I was looking last night, and I didn't see too much coming from him. I know Loomis got really like amped up about him being elected and said like, you know, we're going to do this. But I don't know if there's like behind scenes talk for that, or if it's just more kind of like, you know, chest thumping and stuff like that.
Well, I think as far as that goes, I think, you know, Trump is now in a position where he's running, you know, however many 458 different agencies, right? So I don't think he's diving down the rabbit. He's putting, if I were him at least, and it's kind of what he's done, whether you can argue whether the person is the right choice or not, but he just puts, okay, this is my policy. This person believes in it. Okay, you run with it. And then he's got to keep up with all of them to make sure they're doing the right thing.
Yeah, and I know like another thing he mentioned was the advisory council. So I'd imagine like Loomis would have, you know, if they made like a Senate advisory council or something like that, Loomis would be in there. I know there was other people that made some tweets that have now disappeared regarding, you know, moving to the DC area. And they were, you know, somebody that's pretty, well known in the Bitcoin space. So maybe like through the advisory council, like he's going to get to these conclusions. I don't know. Like I said, it's so theoretical for me. I feel like I can go in circles on it.
Yeah, cause I feel like we just mentioned multiple different agencies basically being created and they're trying to cut the size of government. Yeah. We kind of know how, what direction that tends to go in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he
10 agencies to get rid of 100, right?
I'll trade the DEA and the ATF for, you know, a Bitcoin advisory council. So, I don't think the DEA is going to go anywhere. Maybe probably not the ATF either, but you know, we could dream.
So let's look at this really quick. Who would you say are 4 or 5 closest people to Donald Trump during this campaign outside of his immediate family? Would you say it was RFK had a big role? Tulsi, Vivek, JD Vance, Howard Lutnick was in charge of his transition team. Like all of those people are big Bitcoiners. And so you take a lot to convince me that they're not talking about it and putting that inside of his ear. Probably not daily, but they're definitely bringing it up.
So Coleman, we started off the show kind of talking about, you know, how when Bitcoin is presented to financial institutions, board of directors at large companies, that it's the individuals first. So I think to your point, Coleman, it's really good that, you know, he has some top people in his administration, but just like these companies and financial institutions are very slow to move, you can imagine how complex it would be to get the United States government to move. So again, I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying the likelihood is it takes a lot more time.
I do. But then I look at everything else kind of going on in the world. I try and look at, you know, what's going on in Europe and what's going on with China. And you could say that both of those, you know, Europe and China are both going through some major financial issues. China looks like they're about to unleash a ton of stimulus to help boost their economy. Europe is starting to call snap elections because they can't figure out their budget and they don't know what's going to happen, figuring out their pension funds. And then you look at our debt. Again, we just crossed $36 trillion. And so I think they have to try and find a way out. And I think they know the way out is to do a monetary reset. And the best way or the safest way to do that, and I truly do believe that they've figured out Bitcoin. And I do think that they're going to start implementing this. Again, David Bailey's been in the ear of the Trump campaign the entire time since Nashville. And so, again, he doesn't have to have a huge impact, but just that constant feedback and that constant just throwing it out there has to make an impact. And seeing with Senator Lummis, like she's been just posting for the last week nonstop about the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. We had the central banks, yesterday or the day before in Mexico City, they were talking about they wish they were along Bitcoin and that they're going to watch what the Trump administration does when they get into office to see how they're going to make their next move. We have the BRICS going on and they're trying to figure out a currency to trade between them, which we all assume they're going to discover Bitcoin. So you start adding all these little puzzle pieces into place.
You forgot Malay last night having dinner with Trump and Musk.
Yes. And then Malay also went out and said that he wants to change his stance on Bitcoin. Or I think he said crypto, but I'll just say it was Bitcoin. And so you're right. So you look at all this and you can start to see the picture start focusing in. And
I want to dive in on that a little bit because I don't think people understand the importance of a G8 nation making a Bitcoin move. It's not El Salvador. Okay, guys. That's like, that's an entire like order higher level. You know,
we lost you there, Bitpetro. All I heard was G8, and then you went to the Matrix. I think we lost Bitpetro.
Yeah. I just to build on what I think you were saying, you know, the U.S. doing a tiny bit of movement in Bitcoin is probably more impactful than El Salvador, like, leaning fully into it. just because of the status that we have, you know, especially like us even more so than any of the other, like G7 or G8 countries because of the fact that we are like the global reserve currency. And you know, I make this point, I'm kind of trying to like steel man myself, like by arguing, like maybe we won't do anything. But you know, I make the argument too that like it just, you know, when you look at the world and what the world is doing and as we're shifting away from like the United States as the global hegemon, and you know, BRICS and others are looking for alternatives to the U.S. Stranglehold on international trade and stuff like that. You know, Bitcoin is just the obvious answer. I've posted a few times that chart where I show, you know, the purchasing power of the various currencies and then, of gold and then the, purchasing power of Bitcoin versus gold. And you know, Bitcoin's just the clear leader of all of those. You know, if it's just the currencies, the United States looks great. You throw Bitcoin into the mix and, you know, Bitcoin's just far and away the better choice. So, I mean, it really does make sense for them. It's just like, how much do we think they can actually do? How much do they actually want to do? And then even if they don't want to do it, like, are we at the point where they, like, maybe they didn't know before. Maybe they were as dumb as we thought they were. And they didn't realize it before, but now they're starting to see the writing on the wall that, you know, they have to be prepared for the potential, of Bitcoin taking the place of, you know, international settlement, or global reserve or something like that. So, you know, we might be getting to that bridge, and that's why it's getting so much more traction than it was before. And I think, you know, we don't really care about price action much, right? Like I just have like a scheduled buy that occurs, but, price action, you know, when it gets to certain numbers, you know, people will take it more seriously than they did before, right? I think
what about the price of block space? Who's going to mine the transactions for these nations? How do the nations ensure that they get their transactions into a block?
Well, a lot of these like the global South, as we call it, a lot of them are like energy rich, right? So they could kind of shift some of that. Like that's my thoughts on it, at least, are that they could kind of shift some of those resources, away from the global markets and use them for mining. We see how like OPEC and stuff, they manipulate the volume that they're producing. So they could, you know, use a similar tactic to impact price of oil on the global market. And, but maybe instead of shifting, I don't know what the costs involve for them downshifting in terms of production. You know, maybe they could maintain the production a little bit, but build some refinery or some, power plants, generation plants, like, nearby. Yeah,
so the power is one thing, but you still have to have the miners, the physical miners themselves, right? Which are very, very, centralized at the moment. We have movements away from that centralization going on, right? With things like Block, Auradine, some of these other initiatives that are producing, competing with Bitmain, competing with, you know, the Antminer mafia. But it's going to be interesting to see how that hash is distributed around the world. And then more importantly, like you have to run that hash and you have to run that hash properly. There's also an aspect of, does your transaction make it to the miners globally, right? If your transaction is not making it to global miners, it greatly is reduced, like the chance that it's getting in that block, right? If for whatever reason we start, you know, having censored mempools, then that becomes problematic for nation states. Right, this is the whole hash wars thing that comes into play. It's not just a factor of energy. It's also a factor of understanding how the network works and how the nodes work, how they're all interconnected. How do you get your transaction to the most nodes possible without it having filtered or censored?
So really quick, Goblin, if you're in charge, are you putting a bigger emphasis on acquiring miners to mine your own Bitcoin? Or are you putting a bigger emphasis on just purchasing it just straight out?
If I'm in charge, I mean, I think it's an emphasis on education more broadly, right? You can.
Well, no. So if you're trying to acquire a strategic Bitcoin reserve, are you going to put a emphasis on acquiring the miners or just purchasing it outright and worry about the miners and the hash, later on?
Well, your reserve is useless if you can't transact with it, right? Like if you need your reserve in an emergency, but you don't have the hash rate to support that, then what your reserve is useless, right? It's like having a bunch of oil without having anything to put the oil into.
So what happens when these countries realize that they need to acquire miners. What's the turnaround on several hundred thousand miners or a million miners?
It's a great question. Like, to China.
So that's my point, right? So
yeah,
if we haven't started yet, then we're already losing the race.
Well, I think it's, I wouldn't just put it on the state, right? Like, we don't just need the state to do it, right? We have, you know, companies like Mara and a bunch of other ones here. And I think some of the, proposed like tax relief things that Trump has talked about. I think he said, you know, no tax on like Bitcoin mining or something like that. I forget the details, but you know, we can facilitate like the private sector, growth of Bitcoin mining here in the United States through those kind of tax incentives. So like, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the United States government increasing hash rate. We can just facilitate it to where like United States entities are doing it, at an increased rate. And, you know, we can kind of harness our power through that indirectly. You know, because they'll still be compliant with whatever, regulations and stuff we put into place. You know, it's the same they did when we kind of, you know, started putting sanctions on Russia and stuff. All these companies stopped doing business with Russia. You know, so they'll be independent from the government, but they'll still have to abide by the laws and stuff like that. So I don't think we need to directly hash. But it is an interesting thing that, Goplin was talking about. I didn't really think of that aspect of it before. So.
So what happens when, the hash rate becomes so critical to national security that it is either, the industry is either nationalized or so heavily regulated as to make it just a agency of the government?
I think you have less of a problem at the hash level and more of a problem at the pool level, because technically the hash can be redistributed, and most of the centralization that's really, really concerning happens. I mean, if you're not talking about fiscal confiscation, like, you know, we're going to show up with guns and take your stuff, it's easier, even if that was going to be the attack, it's easier to do that at the pool level.
And I don't even mean that as necessarily an attack on Bitcoin, just as the government seeing this as so important that it needs to take control of it.
I think
it's a honeypot, no doubt.
I think the government realizes the importance of Bitcoin, well before they understand the significance of not having the block space. And if I was going to place a bet, I would place a bet that's where the United States fails, is they don't have enough block space and they don't control enough of the mining sector that they can just get run over by like the Middle East, Russia, and China. If I was going to place a bet on it, I would place a bet that Russia and China have more, not combined together, each individual country has more block space than the United States. I just don't think they've deployed it yet. And if anyone wants to counter that or argue that, we can talk about it.
As a nation state, you mean, or just like in general? Like,
as a nation, like, I think Russia and China have more miners and have a greater ability to deploy it than we do.
I mean, just because of Bitmain, that's probably true.
Do y'all have any thoughts on us failing with the block war space?
I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, it's hard to say offhand. Like, you might be right, but I don't know. Like, whenever I think of like an actual like Bitcoin mining company, I always think of American companies. You know, I don't really think of like Chinese companies and stuff like that. I know they're obviously the ones producing the miners and stuff. But I don't really know in terms of like, are they just, you know, is it just like, you know, fiat profit driven? Are they shipping them over here to, you know, make money so that they can, you know, buy whatever else it is that they want? Or are they, you know, one for me, two for you type, or, you know, one for you, two for me type thing, like keeping
some of the reserve. Bitmain is notorious for running your equipment and handing it to you after it's been run for a minute. So I have no doubt that they are two for me, one for you.
Yeah, China especially is really good at playing the long game. They're always, it seems, years ahead of us in what's going to take place and unfold. And they also have the benefit of that they don't have to get approval to do things, or they can just go ahead and implement something Or if we want to do it, we have to get, you know, Congress, the Senate, and get approval in the budget committee. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think Eomar, the person you were referencing, was Jason Lowry. So I do hope that, someone picks him up and they bring him in, because I do think he's going to be very, impactful and significant in the coming months and years. Anybody else have anything they want to talk about on this?
Yeah, I'll just say I just ordered a copy of his book, Software. They're back on Amazon, or at least they were last night. So there's a PDF that floats around too. Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading that one. I think that'll be interesting.
Was it on the secondhand market, or was it new?
No, it was new, $50.
Interesting, because I know that he had to pull them due to new leadership in Washington.
Yeah. If you look at his Twitter page, it's a little interesting too. That there's like a recent purge, so I don't know if maybe he's got a new job that allows for things that he couldn't do before.
Well, if we have any government officials listening to this, reach out to them. I think it'll be good.
Yeah, it's pure speculation on my part, but you know, interesting timing and stuff.
Now we'll say breaking news. You heard it here first. Jason Lowry got invited to the Trump White House.
I gotta make a post all in caps, you know, breaking news.
Hey, we can give Dennis Porter shit, but, he's going to be joining us after Thanksgiving. Get a date, specific date for him, but I'm going to be really excited to have him on. Again, I think he's a little, the way we announce certain things or view certain scenarios in the industry and the space, I think we take different approaches, but, I have to give him credit that he's doing a lot on it. In the background, making sure that lawmakers are informed and help, and he's helping pass a lot of pro Bitcoin regulations. So, got to give him props where props is due. But I want to give a quick thank you to our partners, Black Sheep Ammo. Restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com. Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining at solosatoshi.com. Punch Plate, stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate at punchplate.com. And Paladin or Tactics, professional firearms training at paladintowertactics.com. And for everybody who is just tuning in, please, we're going to have an amazing conference in Alaska, Juneau, Alaska, 5th and 6th of next year. It's going to be an amazing conference. This is going to be a family-friendly event as well. So make sure you bring the kids, bring your wives. Bitcoin price keeps doing its thing. We can bring our girlfriends. So make sure that you go in the nest and click on that link, buy your tickets, make sure you reserve your hotels, because those are going to be things that are going to be hardest to acquire. So check them out at bitcoinalaska.org.
Hey, you cut out for me there a little bit, so I don't know if you cut out for everybody else, but that was July 5th and 6th of next year, right?
Yes, July 5th and 6th of next year. Family-friendly event, so make sure you can bring your kids and your wife, your grandparents, whoever you're going to bring. It'll be one of the only events where when you buy a whale pass for the conference, we're going to take a cruise out to Tracy Fjord, and so it'll be the only whale ticket where you can actually go see whales. So bitcoinalaska.org, secure your hotels and get your tickets.
And just one more thing. I know, you know, we were going back and forth on whether or not they will do anything with like a Bitcoin strategic reserve. One thing that you can do as individuals is reach out to your senators. This isn't from like the political standpoint. It doesn't seem very costly up front, at least on the surface. So, you know, I don't think there's many people emailing them saying, no, don't do this. So if you reach out to them and, you know, you either call them or email them or whatever, you know, messaging thing they have on their website, you know, reach out to your senator. And your House representative might as well, and just say that, you know, you're really supportive of this bill, you know, give your, personal crayon eating reasons as to why, you know, if you want, maybe one of the smarter ones here can write something down in terms of like a template to email them and like why it's important and how it benefits the United States of America and stuff like that. You know, just be cordial, you know, say, you know, I think it's important. I think it's innovative technology. If you know nothing else, just say innovative technology that'll, you know, help put America first or something like that. And just let them know that you want them to support it. Again, there's probably not many voices against it. So if they hear some voices for it, maybe it'll move the needle a little bit.
And Poly market odds shot up greater than 50% on the news of Pennsylvania, starting a strategic reserve for the state. It's come back down since. It's back to where it's been at about 31-32%. But it was interesting to see that spike happen on Polymarket. Other news, 18 states are suing the SEC and Gary Gensler over crypto overreach. 18 states and their attorney generals filed this lawsuit, alleged overreach in enforcing security laws in the crypto industry. I think it's also notable that yesterday Gensler gave a speech thanking everybody, and he kind of left it a little bit ominous, as he may be implying that he'll step down sooner rather than later. So I'm not really sure of the timing of lawsuits against the SEC, but if I was going to bet or guess or speculate, I would think they're trying to push Gensler out before Trump takes over in office. If anyone has any thoughts or comments they want to talk about on this, I'd like to hear them right now. But that's kind of my take on it.
What's the gain from that? Like, what do we gain from him being kicked out early, other than, you know, just not having to look at him anymore? Is there like a strategic gain that Trump would get from that?
I don't know if it's a strategic gain for Trump, but you get rid of a lot of the lawsuits that are happening right now with some of the industries. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I still think Coinbase is fighting a lawsuit against the SEC, and they're the holder for the ETFs. So I think it'll kind of clear that up and get rid of that. Maybe save the SEC some money in legal fees. But also you get a 2-month head start before Trump takes office if you want to start implementing some pro Bitcoin regulation. And I'm not really sure who's next in line to take over Gensler's, if he was to step out or if Trump appoints somebody new. I haven't heard who will be taking over.
It's really, I mean, I think the big idea here is it's not so much against Gensler, like personally, as it is states trying to take back their rights versus the federal government overreach in this area. So I think the bigger news, I mean, sure, Gary Gensler is hated, obviously, but the bigger news is that, you know, there's a balance here of power and oversight. And, you know, the states are alleging that the federal government and its agencies have overstepped their bounds constitutionally. And so this is just something that's going to be litigated, and I think it's going to take place far after, you know, the SEC changes out its chair, Gensler. So I think, you know, we tend to focus on the villains, because it's fun and it makes sense. But I think the bigger thing is this is balance and balance of power.
The pendulum's swinging back to their side.
So I have a question on that. Are there states actually coming out and saying that, like, you know, it's a state's right issue, or are they just doing it because they're incentivized to do it? I just haven't seen anything where they're specifically coming out and saying, like, no, the federal government doesn't have this power. It's ours.
So, I mean, that's essentially what these state attorney generals are alleging, that it's unconstitutional for the federal government to, you know, impose a lot of what they've been imposing on this particular industry. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, what other reason? Like, are they looking to sue to get damages? No. They're looking to maintain their rights and make sure that the federal government doesn't overstep things that are in the Constitution that give rights to the states to control certain things or have at least a say on certain things.
And the 18 states, I just did a quick search on it, that are involved in the lawsuit are heavily red, and they appear to be Bitcoin or Bitcoin friendly states. So you have Texas, Florida, Kentucky, Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, and West Virginia. So those are the ones that wanted to.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, one of the big allegations too is that the federal government failed to provide a framework at all. And so, you know, it could be argued and probably will be in court that, you know, the regulators didn't create regulations where they thought, the, you know, representatives in the Senate and the House for the states should have been enacting laws to provide the framework. So it's kind of like plausible deniability, right? And that's been their MO this whole time. In saying, well, you know, we're waiting to hear from our legislators, and the legislators are saying, well, just put in a good framework and we're fine. And so it's like, who's going to win this? It's hard to say, but I think the states are clearly trying to send a message, and they have the momentum behind them with what happened with the election. So
I guess, is that the takeaway of him stepping down early, is that these all go away and it just becomes like, yep, this is a states' right issue, they won? Or does it still need to be litigated? Or,
well, the SEC could definitely settle, right? It's hard to say if they would try to defend an outgoing SEC chair that is, you know, pretty well hated. Maybe Wall Street likes Gary Gensler, but, you know, all the big money that came from Bitcoin and cryptocurrency in the elections maybe speaks louder. So it's an interesting dynamic for sure. Something to keep an eye on. I'm also looking at the fact, and this is kind of to shift gears. We can stay on that topic, but I just thought I'd bring up, just as long as we're talking about states, Detroit announced that they're going to start in the middle of 2025 accepting Bitcoin for tax payments, which I think has, if you game theory that one out, has some implications as well, because of the idea that you could be double taxed, right? Because when you spend Bitcoin, effectively, you're, you know, if it's up from where you bought it at, you're going to be paying a capital gains tax on it. And then, you know, there's just this problem of, is it a currency? Is it not? Are you trading property for your taxes? You know, like, there's just all these questions about it.
So to wrap up the Gensler thing, I think when you look at the state suing Gensler's speech yesterday, where it did kind of apply, it looks like he may be stepping down. I think it's just kind of a 1-2. He steps down, the SEC puts someone new in charge, and then they just settle with everybody and apologize for having leadership in place that wasn't clear. We got rid of the problem. Let's start fresh. Here we go. Here's an olive branch. So I could see that unfolding over the next week.
Wouldn't that require some competency from Biden, though, to facilitate that?
I don't think you need Biden involved at all, right? He can just say he's stepping down.
He hasn't been facilitating anything for 4 years.
Well, that's my point. Like, I would think that, like, for different, like, new leadership to be in there to, like, actually try to put out all these fires and stuff, I would think that somebody competent would have to take over, and I thought that would be, like, the purview of the current administration.
Trump and Biden did just meet, and Biden said that he was going to facilitate a smooth transition. So, you know, maybe this is one of those steps in it. Who knows?
You just put in Trump's person, whoever he has in favor for the short term, and then he takes over. I think there's more to this story, and I think next week we'll get a little clarity on it. And if I was going to place a wager, I bet you he steps down. With the Detroit thing, Bob. I think they have to make it so that it's not going to be taxed. Otherwise, I know the cities and the states are trying to acquire it for payments, but no one's going to want to spend it like that if it's taxed on it. So,
can the argument be made that it should be made legal tender in Detroit or in Michigan, which then has implications for elsewhere?
Does the state or city, can they supersede how the federal government sees that? That would be my question. I have no idea. That's way above my pay grade and my knowledge.
States can print their own money. They just don't.
But can they, that Bitcoin is going to be a legal currency and it won't be taxed with capital gains? And does that hold at the federal
level? No, because that's an IRS thing, right? So they could say in the state of Michigan, you're not going to pay capital gains for state tax on any of these payments. but they really can't dictate anything about how the IRS treats it.
I think some state did something similar with gold recently, so we might be able to like dig into, I don't know offhand, but we might be able to dig into that and see how that like played out, to get an idea of how doing the same with Bitcoin might play out.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how the city or the state could go ahead and do that and just challenge the IRS. But you would hope that with the new administration coming, they would just clear it up with just a pen stroke. It's no longer, you want to make payments for paying federal taxes or state taxes. There's no capital gains on it. That would be easy if you still wanted to try and accumulate some kind of tax on other types of payments. I'm sure you can implement something like that. But I think it would be.
Yeah. What do you think he means by, issued by U.S. registered companies? That means like as long as you're buying through like Coinbase or Gemini or any of the other tons of them versus if we buy through, I don't know, like Binance or something like that. Do you think, is that what he means?
Well, I think you're onto something. I think it is KYC'd Bitcoin, right? So presumably like if you're a miner and you do it right, you're getting Coinbase transactions if your pool, you know, it gets the block reward and you're getting that freshly newly created Bitcoin, as a, you know, as a subsidy. And if you've done it right, you're completely anonymous. And so I think it's either Bitcoin that's KYC'd versus not, or, you know, you could think of people who have mixed Bitcoin in the past to obfuscate ownership, and have privacy. But yeah, I think that's exactly what he means, Joel.
I think you're head on or spot on with that, Bob. I think that's what they want to do. And they just want to know. And again, especially if you're trying to implement it as a strategic reserve, you want to know how much of your citizens are holding it. Getting into that is a whole different kind of spew, of, you know, rights and government reach. But I think that's kind of the goal, is to figure out how much of the citizens are using it. If they can go ahead and make it tax-free on what they know they have.
I think the funny part there too, though, is, or the ironic part is, it's like, if I had a tax payment due and I went in with, you know, $5,000 worth of cash, are they going to ask me like, hey, where did you get that from? No, they're going to take the cash. So with Bitcoin, presumably it's, you know, peer-to-peer digital cash. Why do they necessarily need to know where it came from?
Yes.
Yeah. I wonder how, like, I'm just like, it's just making me think of different like things with like his talk about like the income tax versus sales tax and tariffs and stuff like that. Like, is it like preparation for that? 'Cause if you think about it, okay, say, you know, if I have my money on, Coinbase and then, you know, I buy something from you and, you know, so I send it to you, it's kind of tracked. But if I have it on cold card and I send it to you, like there's no way for the government to know that, you know, we exchanged, you know, some Bitcoin for some product or service that you were selling. So like one way to get around that.
There is though, you know, Omar, because what happens is they have Chainalysis and they can basically, you know, because it's a public network, they can go back and basically trace it back to whenever it, you know, moved. So from the original, you know, if it was mined and then moved and then Coinbase had it and then it got sent to your wallet, like they can track that all the way back to the original transaction.
That seems like a very boring, tedious job for someone to watch all the transactions to make sure they're being registered correctly.
Probably Chainalysis, like chain learning and stuff, but
Chainalysis has a huge contract with the US government. And if you look at like privacy and surveillance, there's a lot of battles going on with that. And I think, you know, some people in the industry would say that, basically your right to privacy with financial transactions is completely under attack, especially as it relates to Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies.
It's interesting. I'll have to do some research on that. I didn't know that that was currently going on.
Yeah. I mean, if you look up Tornado Cash, you guys probably have heard of it. If you look up, there's an ongoing lawsuit with Samurai Wallet, the two guys who founded that. Their whole shtick was privacy and to basically make Bitcoin transactions private. And I guess I'm not really saying it's good or bad. I don't think that they violated any laws personally from looking into it. But now we have, you know, basically the government regulators saying you violated laws and now it's going to play out in court. And you have, you know, the government with all the resources and money that they can print versus a couple of guys who are just trying to create privacy tools for, you know, Bitcoiners. So I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. If you're interested in looking, you know, just there's a big movement in the Bitcoin space, and just look up hashtag free samurai. And there's all kinds of things that you can do to support them, but also look at, what's going on, like with the courts and what the story is and all of those things.
Gonna have to check that out. So we're at the top of the hour, so we're gonna start wrapping up the show. Did anybody on the panel have any final comments, closing remarks, or anything you just want to get off your chest before we wrap it up? I'm gonna take that as a no. Oh, Bob, go ahead.
Coleman, I'll just say one thing, and it's related to maybe the last comments, is I think we all have to decide, like, if it's an issue for you or not, fine, but I think we all have to decide if privacy is a right or not in this country and maybe even around the world. Should these big corporations and the government, know everything that you do? And, you know, some of us voluntarily invite them into our homes, with TVs that have devices in them, Alexa, in the name of convenience. But I think, you know, we all have to decide, especially with Bitcoin being an open public ledger, if privacy is a human right. And, I think it's one of those battlefields that doesn't get talked about enough. And, maybe there's another show in the future that we can dive deeper into that if it's a topic that people want to talk about. But, yeah, thanks for letting me, get that out there.
No, thank you for that, Bob. And I do think that that is going to be a battle that's ongoing. And we can dedicate a couple shows to that because I do think it's extremely important. So yeah, maybe next week we'll spend some time on this topic and, we'll get into it and then best practices and how to protect yourself. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show here. I want to thank everybody who tuned in today. Everybody who participated, everybody who's listening regularly, and everybody who had us on just in the background to drown out the voices in your head. It means a lot to me. I'm going to make my job a lot easier seeing you guys here every day. So join us on Monday again at 10 a.m. We'll cover everything going on over the weekend. If you missed it, we had the Bitcoin video podcast last Tuesday. It was a really good one. So go back to our handle and click on the link. A really good one with Shane and Mike. And if, again, with the Bitcoin price doing what it's doing, you're going to get a lot of friends, a lot of strangers, or just a lot of people that are into it reaching out to you. Have patience. That's going to be the biggest thing we're stressing. Just be patient with them. Again, you didn't understand Bitcoin the first time you heard it, most likely. So set them on the right path. Point them to our show. Point them to the right places. And again, that's the biggest thing we're going to be hitting on is just and start local. We don't have the mountain, just move a pebble, and if all of us grab a stone, we can do anything. So that's my message for you all this weekend. But go out there and have some fun, and do not shitcoin. It's like buying a lottery ticket with today's number.